The Office.
Yes, you finally got it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That one actually took me a bit to learn.
Yeah, that's it's a good show.
I hoped you'd get it on the first try.
It's not for everybody.
I was not confident I would get it on the second time or be able to just keep going through the
loop. Well, it kind of sounds like a harmonica in that song anyways.
I think it probably is.
Yeah.
Anyways, hey guys, it's Katie and Jacket, and we're back with Crossing the Line, where we cross the line so you don't have to.
And in case you haven't picked up, the intro is always Katie playing something on her harmonica.
Really well, might I.
Nailing it.
Yeah. Anyways, so this week, I mean, last week, actually, we touched a little bit about, I guess, my story, kind of what I went through, kind of why we got this whole idea to start this in the first place. So tonight's episode comes at you from me watching an episode of Home Improvement last night that kind of spiked a whole new idea in my head. So, Jacket, to put you on the spot, Do you or do you not have life insurance?
I don't.
You don't.
And I get emails about it all the time, and I always am going to do it. I was just didn't do it yet.
Okay. And how old are you?
No, we don't need to disclose that information.
Under 40.
Yep.
Okay. And what would be your plan? Like, I mean, like, let's say hypothetically speaking, you were to walk out the door tomorrow and get hit by a bus.
I think about that all the time.
Where would your stuff go?
I literally just thought about that an hour before you got here.
Really?
And I'm like, I even have it wrote down here. I just wrote down a will. Like, I need to make a will.
Yes.
And I'm like, who am I going to leave my stuff to? And I have no idea.
So I brought this up to Miles last night as we were watching this. And literally in the episode, Jill says, all right, Tim, if you don't want to talk about it, then I'm just going to write it myself. And then she says, all your tools will go to your brother. And he just loses it. He's like, no, 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 no. And so I said the same thing to Miles. I said, we just give all your tools to your brother. And he's like, you don't just get to say where all my tools go. Mm-hmm. I said, then who does?
Right.
And then he, you know, we kind of got into it a little bit, like talking about it, because obviously, like, I have, you know, I have Lane from my first marriage. And then Miles and I have Mac. And I said, what's going to happen? We kind of have a complicated situation here.
Yep.
And he goes, it won't be complicated. If that would ever happen, if we were to both die at the same time, like, they would all come together and they would figure it all out.
But that makes it so much worse for the family. Like, and then it causes fights, it causes problems. It's chaos. You're already dealing with the mourning of your loved ones, and then you throw that into the mix, and it's uncomfortable. It's not fun.
No.
And it's a huge, takes up a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. And here's the reality of it. Like, yes, going through a tragedy like that, it brings every form of family together, friends, family, like aunts, uncles, everyone, absolutely everyone. But then that lasts temporarily. And then that's when it gets tricky, because grief, again, is the weirdest freaking thing in the world, because everyone does it differently. There's no right way to do it, right? There's not like an actual book that says this is exactly how you're supposed to grieve. So, like, the way that I grieved over losing a husband and the father to my 2-year-old at the time was different than the way that Brett's parents grieved losing their son, and then also wanting like so much from Brett and I's son at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So then that started causing issues, because my parents wanted to spend time with Lane, and then his parents wanted to spend time with Lane, and then everybody was trying to spend all this time with Lane, and he was just getting pulled in every single direction, and there wasn't a necessary right solution to any of it. It was just, I mean, it was just chaos.
Yeah.
So thinking of that now, though, if we were to have both died in the same day, what would have happened?
Yeah, it's something nobody wants to think about, but yeah,
you should.
You have to think about it. And,
right.
I'm working on it.
Can I can I get put in the wheel to have your incline thing, whatever that's called?
That belongs to the studio.
What's it called? What is that?
Inversion table.
Thank you. Thank you. Put me on the list.
Yeah, I will.
No, I think it's something that's like unheard of anymore. And I also, like, again, like I told you last week, I believe in all the little things and the reasons why you get to where you're at and like the stupid things that happen in your life that like trigger another thing to happen. And the entire reason that we both even had life insurance was because Brett used to work for a company where he was an outside salesman. I don't know that I've told you this before. He ended up, unfortunately, getting a DUI in the morning, a morning after partying, and lost his job because of it, and then had nowhere to turn. And randomly, like, one friend talked to another friend and another friend, and then they contacted him, and they're like, hey, we work for New York Life. We know you're a salesman. We think you'd be very good at this. So, I mean, he went into like depression mode for a few months, and then he pulled himself out of it and started studying and learned about life insurance. Prior to that, neither one of us had it at all, nor had we thought about it.
Yeah, no, I always think about it, and then like my brothers have all got it, and I just haven't made the time yet.
I mean, crossing the line, do you generally not care what happens to everyone?
Oh, no, I do. Like, I think they should keep my motorcycle, sell my vehicles, or haul them all to Roadrunner or something.
Don't you dare.
Oh, yeah, all of them.
Not the van.
Sell them. I got a few other items that I would like to stick around, but for the most part, I mean, feel like I'm a big material person.
No, you're not, but you still have have assets and you have value and mm-hmm. you have all this stuff. Like, I feel like it goes through, I don't know actually what happens or how that happens, because when you don't have a beneficiary, mm-hmm. I think it would have to go to like maybe a legal guardian. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Yeah. I'd probably just, most of it would go to my mom, I'm assuming.
Maybe.
Right.
Because you don't have any debts right now, right?
No.
So, I mean, it'd be everything.
I mean, the house. Like.
Right. But I don't know. It's just hard. It's hard to think about. Like, you don't want everything to just be thrown up on a yard sale, or you don't want all of your family members fighting about certain items that you have, because again, that's where it gets tricky. And I know this is something I need to touch base on. After Brett, and after the 10 days of searching, and after the funeral, and this would be in like the months after, random people would walk up to me, like not super random, like I knew them, they were friends with Brett and I previous, but they would walk up and say, well, I just expected you would give me something.
Really?
Like, I at least want a pair of his dirt bike boots, or I at least want a helmet, or I at least want this.
Japers.
And it just caught me so far off guard, I didn't even know how to respond to that.
Yeah.
How do you respond? I mean,
what'd you do?
I mean, again, this is where you go through something like this, and you have to grieve on your own time, because when it's not your own time and you're not like in the shower crying by yourself, you have to like attend to everyone else grieving for what you're grieving for. So you have to like turn into like, I don't like the adult, and you have to like try to process everything and not be a crazy fucking bitch like I wanted to be. And that was a very hard thing for me to do. I mean, I had someone in my face saying, well, I at least want a pair of his dirt bike boots. Well, I at least want him. I want him back. Mm-hmm. Like, why would I give you his shit when that can go to our son someday?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the stuff is, you correlate with like memories.
Right.
I mean, that's given these memories away. I know other people want, a lot of people knew Brett. So, I mean, everyone's got memories with him, but.
You doesn't know, make you entitled to
exactly,
get
yep.
some of his possessions.
Mm-hmm.
But that did like, that really like, it screws with my mind to think if it would have been both of us again, what And again, I don't think this is anyone's intentions going into anything like this, but you hear about it all the time when people lose parents and relatives, and then it comes between the entire family. And a lot of people call it greed, which I do. I think it is a lot of greed, but I also think it's just the different ways that people grieve.
Yeah.
No one knows how. Some people like clench onto memories or whatever with sentimental like items or whatnot, and other people just don't know how to handle it at all. And they're just, I don't know, something comes over them that's like, oh, well, if I had to go through this loss, maybe this money will make me feel better.
Some people just deal with shit different. Some people just haven't dealt with it yet. And, you know, everyone has their own rhythm and mm-hmm. rhyme and reason, and that's all right. Just don't worry about it, I guess. I mean, I understand, like, I'm not brushing off what they said to you, but it's just like that person, that just their brain works different.
Yeah.
It's no big deal.
But back to crossing the line with life insurance, do you really not plan on getting it ever? Or what?
No, I do plan on getting it.
When?
Soonly.
When? What does that mean?
Probably this year.
Are you lying? I feel like you're lying.
I'm not. I'm very busy. A lot of stuff going
on.
Are
you? You're not trying to start a podcast or anything. That's weird.
No.
No, I think it's something Brett really struggled with when he started in that industry, because he could not get anyone to listen to him, which I get that, because...
Which industry?
Life insurance. Selling life insurance.
Okay, yep.
So he would make appointments with people our age, which, again, we got married. I mean, I was 27 and he was 25. So when he was working in life insurance, he would have been like 23, I think. So it was after that he switched careers again to being, you know, a salesman for dirt bikes and all that. But he'd reach out to friends and just like tell them, hey, I don't know if you're interested in this. You can get life insurance while you're young pretty cheap. It's something you should think about. He'd even reach out to like married friends that we had with kids, and everyone would just brush him off. And obviously, I think about that a lot now, because had he not have done that, I still do not know that we would have had it at all. It was something that we were like, nah, we can use that extra $30 a month, buy another case of beer, or, you know,
yeah,
whatever it may be. But it's just not something that we prioritize into our life, that I think a lot more younger people should think about now while they are young and healthy, and while they can pass that physical exam or whatever and get the cheaper rates and then lock it in for a lifetime.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something that we watched last night. And again, Miles did everything to brush me off about it until I asked him about his tools. And it was like, No. I got to say where that goes. I said, all right, well, then you need to
better fill out the
write
paperwork.
It down with me.
Yeah.
And we need to get it done, because it everyone wants to think death brings people together, which that is not a lie. It does. It brings people together, but it also tears people apart in the worst ways. And again, if anyone's going through this, or, you know, if anyone's been through this, like, really try to think about the grief process, because I don't think anyone knows what they're doing when they're going through that. I know I didn't. I know a lot of my friends didn't. I remember like one of my best friends actually writing me like a 14-page note front and back about things that had happened in the past years that she deeply regretted, and, you know, things that she wished she would have said, and things that she just was hating herself for. And I remember thinking, like, it's really nice of you to like say it. I'm glad that you're saying it, because again, that's probably helping you in the process too. But again, it's nothing that you should look back and like hate yourself for.
Yeah.
No one predicted anything like that to happen. None of us knew that was going to happen, but if anything, we all learned from it.
Right.
A lot.
No regrets.
No regrets. Not even the R.
Nope. No regrets.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I've been wondering since last week
how you were going to turn this episode dark, and you just never fails. talking about my death and stuff. And
can't help it.
Get life insurance, you dumbass. Okay, I'm going. Jeez.
But, yeah.
Did not see that one coming, but that's good.
Yeah, it's funny every time.
It is funny. It's funny every time. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I guess I've been thinking a lot about last week's episode and just other things that you go through and stuff like that that you don't think about. Like a big question I got, which again, I'm not meaning to go too dark, but things that people don't think about. So I was 31. Brett was 29.
Oh, geez.
And the funeral home director was like, okay, are you buying one plot or are you buying two? I'm like, I don't know. What do people normally do? And he's like, well, it's up to you. So again, you're 29 years old, like 31 years old, trying to figure out what the hell the right decision is to make in that instance, which again, people were, you're young. You'll find someone else. You'll move on, which never, ever made me feel better about anything. But I ended up buying two and I ended up getting a headstone for the both of us. And I just told myself in that moment, you know, this was a marriage I entered into planning to go to my death with. And, you know, we have a kid, we have a family. Like, if I can't do this and if, you know, if I were to ever move on, if I can't meet someone that's okay with that, they're not the right person to be with. And I just need to accept that and move on from that, because I think that, like, all in itself is another huge, you know, milestone to get to. It's funny I said milestone,
right?
But it was another thing to think of on a whim when you shouldn't have to. You shouldn't think about it. Like, you know, how would you, like, think about that if it was you? Like, what would you think, even not being married right now? Like,
I think about that shit all the time. I don't know if I would get cremated just to save the hassle of, you know, obviously I would try to have all that casket bullshit picked out, but I don't know if that's kind of a sin. And I think Father kind of touched on it.
On the cremating thing?
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't think I've said this episode. I didn't have a choice.
Right.
I didn't
right.
have it. They literally said.
Yeah.
He's getting cremated. I mean, he's been in the water for 10 days.
Yeah, obviously.
Cannot.
But I mean, how does the church stand on that? Or I mean, well, are you, if you're religious?
Oh, so you're talking about like the burial plot thing.
Mm-hmm.
So even when they're cremated, you still have to buy a plot if you plan to like have them in a cemetery.
Right.
And that's where I was like, I could not see myself bringing an urn home and setting it like on my mantle. And like, to me, that just didn't sit right with me. I was like, I feel like I want him present, but I don't want him that present.
Right.
It didn't feel right that we didn't have a place to like go and actually like mourn him, and that not just me, all his friends and family, community, and anyone that came out in that search, I wanted them to have a place to go and like
right.
pay their respects and not have to come to my living room and sit next to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I mean, like, same thing with the cross out at the head gates. I mean, it's kind of the same deal. I mean, not the same, it's different, but it's another, you know, it's like a monumental place.
So we need to probably tell people what we're talking about there. So it's right over where we went over the wall with the kayaks and where the accident obviously happened. So we had a couple of friends actually that volunteered to do this and built this giant, like, is it iron? What is it?
It's just giant,
really
steel.
Really heavy, huge, huge cross for Brett that we ended up making like an area out there, because it's like, despite of the accident, it's a beautiful area. Like, matter of fact, I have a picture of Brett the year before that, literally standing in the place that he drowned, standing before the flood and throwing our son up in the air, like out of the water. Exact spot where he got sucked under the year later. So I mean, a lot of people go out there and just like sit there because it's very pretty to watch, and like I said, it's got like this waterfall sound in the background from the head gates running.
Yeah, I used to go out there and after work when it was hot, just go sit in the water
mm-hmm.
with a six pack of beer, probably.
Yeah. In your stomach. Yeah. But yeah, we made a little area out there with a bench now. You can go out there and sit there too if you don't want to go to the cemetery. But either way, you have somewhere to go that's not, I don't know. The urn thing never sat well with me because, again, I'm accident prone in every way and I have the worst luck in the whole entire world. So I would have knocked that thing over, broke it. Like, it would have gotten my mouth at some point. Like, I don't know. It would have been everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to go there. So, but that was a thing. Like, I did not realize people did that though and then buried the ashes. I did not know that either.
Oh, yeah. We've dig some of the graves for those in there. I mean, you just bring the wheelbarrow and dig them. Like, I can't remember the dimensions.
You do it by hand?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, guys, Jacket digs graves on the side.
No, I mean, that's not on the side. It's
part of your
part of job. The job, but it's
not really your main job though.
No.
So it's kind of on the side.
It all pays the same to me though.
All right, fine.
Like it's something that the old bosses just always did, and then now we still do it.
Right.
So yeah.
I've talked to Trevor about that before, actually, because I've thought about when my dog dies, that was me and Brett's dog. Like, I want to illegally dig up the ashes. I shouldn't probably be talking about this, but I want to, like, dig up the ashes and mix Jax's in there with them.
I don't know if that is illegal.
Is it? Or is it not?
I mean,
I feel like it would be. You can't just go in and dig up graves. I mean, to add your pet's ashes with yours.
Why not? You're not robbing shit. I don't know the rules. I've never wanted to dig up a grave. We just dig them and then.
It was him. It was him that told me one time though that there was like a wife or a husband. One of the two died first, and the other one actually like put it in their will, or talked to your guys' boss or whatever. That then told Trevor like when they died, they wanted someone to dig up the ashes and mix the ashes together so they would be together for eternal life.
So did they do it?
We gotta. That's a part where we should call Trevor and ask him because he told me about that, which is, I mean, to me, I was like, oh, that's the sweetest thing I've ever heard. In my life.
He's dug a lot more graves than me. I'm usually just the guy along that gets in the hole and smooths them out, you know. I try to do a good job, and they're going to be there forever. Right. So, not that they're going to notice, but
is that ever creepy for you to do?
Not really. I mean,
no. How do you mark them? How do you measure where you're digging?
There's like the cemetery guy, and he has little cemetery maps of everything out there, where okay. everyone's buried, where what's available, what's not, and then he shows us where they're supposed to go, and he spray paint outlines, and puts a flag there because, I mean, that Fullerton Cemetery is getting pretty full, and it seems like people always die in threes around here. When we got to dig one grave, we got to dig three.
Yep.
It's like that everywhere. But so then we just go dig them. We got to get the dump truck in there to move all the dirt. And I mean, we try to do a good job, but it's, you know, it's pretty tight space in there. And I know we leave tire tracks and stuff, but there's no way to get around that. I guess you could put mats down probably, but
we don't
have the time.
You have to haul the dirt away too. And then haul it back in.
Yep. Yep.
Like the next day.
Yep. And like right after people clear out. Like
so you're on call like all the time.
Yeah, I mean, between all four of us, it's decently like they usually give us, you know, a couple days warning that there's going to be a funeral.
Gotcha.
And then, but we do some west of Belgrade too, and east the Belgrade. There's two cemeteries around Belgrade, and then the Fullerton one.
So you said there's like the Fullerton cemetery is like getting pretty full. Like, how many dead people you think are in there?
All of them.
I could not resist that when I was trying not to laugh the whole time.
All of them except for me when I'm in there.
So have you ever like gotten too close to a grave before? Like
an
existing grave?
Yeah, like scraped.
You have?
Oh yeah, yeah. When they go down there, they're not just in the casket. They're in a concrete vault.
Okay.
So they get slapped in the old casket, and then they buckle that baby shut, and then they lower that down into the vault.
So that can't break open.
Oh yeah.
What?
It can. It happens sometimes.
Oh no.
But
have you seen a dead body?
Not in the cemetery. Like, we haven't.
Well, now I have a million more questions.
No, I haven't that I recall. I mean, I think I would remember, but.
But you've broken through a casket before?
Not into a casket. We bumped the vault one time digging. But like I said, it gets pretty tight out there and there's it's getting full. I mean.
So then
these plots get put together.
I got one more question. Mm-hmm. Did you tell anyone or did you just cover it back up and
just told you and all of our million followers. So
you just patched it back up because honestly, how would they know and what's going to hurt?
Cats out of the bag. I'm sure the vault guys that come in and bring the vaults in, I'm sure they've seen it and they're probably just like,
so this would be like a husband or a wife. So the one was already buried and you were putting the other one next to it?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So there was no way to like hide that before they like got back?
Well, the people probably didn't see it.
It'd be down on the ground. So yeah. That was open while the casket was on top of the ground then for like the ceremony thing?
Okay. They put all that AstroTurf and shit, you know.
Yeah, but.
Have you ever been to a funeral?
Yeah. Are you kidding? A few.
So they put all that AstroTurf and shit down and they like, people don't want to see that. People, when they're grieving, they don't want to see that shit. You know, like, why would you like, but I mean,
well, I've never thought about it before, but now I want to like stick my head under the casket to see if I can see the other casket underground. I mean,
sometimes you can, like it depends on how the guy marks them out for us.
They're that close.
Sometimes.
Are you not terrified every time you dig then?
No, I mean, what's going to happen?
You're going to see a dead body.
They're inside a concrete vault. Like once we hit that,
unless you hit it with your excavator and break it open.
I mean, shit happens, but they're still inside the casket, inside the vault.
I still feel like it's a very like real thing that could happen. Like if someone, let's say you had a grave person that marked it wrong.
Or it was buried in like the 1800s.
Right.
Yeah. In a wooden box that just, yeah. I mean, Trevor might have, I haven't yet.
I don't even know what I know. I do know what I do. I'd be all over it. Like, oh my God, we have a dead body. I need to see everything about it because that's who I am.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times we just don't have the time. Like we have other jobs that we're already late for. Oh my God,
here we go. We work so hard.
No, it's just it's a busy industry.
No, I know you do. I know.
How long did it take you to get your windmill put up?
I will. 8.5 business years.
Yeah. I hear a lot of people saying that business years stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny.
It's a real thing, apparently. You learn that.
It's a busy.
It comes with wisdom.
Busy place.
Wisdom. Kind of like Cool Whip.
Yeah. What the deuce? Anyway, next question.
Where should we go from here?